in the limelight.
Saudi Arabia is badly bogged down in the war in Yemen, which for the past 4.5 years has thwarted the designs of the regime in Riyadh to browbeat it into submission through the most intense bombing campaign the world has seen in this century, that has resulted in the death of almost 100,000 men, women and children in Yemen. In addition to the infrastructure of the country, one of Arab world's most poorest countries. Stay with us for an interesting article in this regard on the Loeb.log site titled MBS's Yemen Quandary. The author of the article is Thomas Lipman, a Washington-based author and journalist who has written about West Asian affairs and American foreign policy for more than 4 decades, specializing in U.S.-Saudi relations. In 2003, Thomas Lipman was the principal writer of the war in Iraq for The Washington Post. The recent decision by the United Arab Emirates to withdraw most of its invading troops from Yemen is unlikely to end the multiple conflicts raging in that unhappy country. But it could have wider implications for relations between the United Arab Emirates and its most important regional partner, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, in the person of heir apparent Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, is committed to the war in Yemen against the popular Ansar Allah movement defending the country, and is usually identified as the leader of the coalition conducting the long-running operation. But it is the United Arab Emirates that has been doing most of the fighting on the ground. The Saudis have limited themselves almost entirely to airstrikes in Yemen. Even with the United Arab Emirates fully on board, the Saudis are no closer to achieving their aims than they were when they intervened in the Yemen conflict over 4 years ago. Now they remain committed to the campaign, but lack their most important tool for waging it. United Arab Emirates officials have said that the withdrawal decision has been under discussion for some time, and that the Saudis were on board with it. And so far, the Saudis have not said otherwise, at least publicly. But it is hard to escape the conclusion that the United Arab Emirates' withdrawal has left Saudi Arabia to play a much weaker hand in Yemen. A recent report in the New York Times put it bluntly. Whilst the Saudis have fought almost entirely from the air, the Emiratis, seasoned by years of combat alongside the American military in Afghanistan and elsewhere, led virtually every successful ground advance in Yemen. Behind the scenes, Emirati officers, weapons and money played an equally critical role in holding together a fractious alliance of mutually hostile Yemeni militias, which have already begun jostling to fill the power vacuum left by the Emiratis. The Emirati drawdown has also severely weakened the Saudis' bargaining power, raising the potential cost to Mohammed bin Salman of any negotiations to end the disastrous war in Yemen. Nevertheless, former American ambassador to Yemen, Gerald Feierstein, predicted recently that the Saudis will carry on their campaign regardless of what the Emiratis or the United States do, because they believe they have no alternative. The Saudis believe that the conflict with Yemen's popular Ansar Allah movement is a war of necessity, not a war of choice. The intransigent Saudis, whose resources are being drained, are not prepared to tolerate an independent Yemen, although they cannot stop the regular targeting of Saudi airports and oil and industrial installations through radar-escaping missiles and drones. As recently as May of this year, after meeting in Washington with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and White House National Security Advisor John Bolton, the United Arab Emirates Minister of Foreign Affairs Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan gave no indication that his country was preparing to retreat either from the war against the Ansar Allah movement or from the separate conflict in central Yemen against Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Now, however, the Emiratis say they need to redeploy some of their forces back home, since they have trained enough Yemeni soldiers that the Yemenis themselves can carry more of the burden. Whilst the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia have supported different factions in the complicated Yemeni conflict, they have otherwise been acting in policy lockstep all around the region, especially against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Mohammed bin Zayed, or MBZ, the heir apparent to his elder brother, Sheikh Khalifa of the Emirate of Abu Dhabi, has been a mentor and friend of this equally reckless Saudi counterpart, Mohammed bin Salman. Together, they were the architects of the boycott imposed on neighbouring Qatar by their countries along with Egypt and Bahrain. And they have been united in financial support for the autocratic Egyptian regime of Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. The boycott of Qatar, like the Yemen campaign, has not only failed to achieve its goal of forcing Qatar to turn on the organization known as the Muslim Brotherhood, it has driven Qatar into closer economic cooperation with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Nor has Qatar shut down the cable news network Al Jazeera or expelled a Turkish military contingent, as the Saudis and the Emiratis have demanded. The boycott of Qatar has disrupted family life, work patterns, air travel all around the Persian Gulf. But the Qataris soon adjusted. They substituted goods from Turkey and Iran for products they used to buy from Saudi Arabia and are carrying on their lucrative natural gas export business as before. The only substantive accomplishment of the boycott has been the all but official breakup of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, the PGCC. A grouping of the six sheikdoms on the Arab side of the Persian Gulf aimed at fostering trade and economic integration. With the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia and Bahrain united in boycotting Qatar, the two remaining members, that is Kuwait and Oman, have been left to futile efforts to heal the breach. 9 months have passed since the US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called for an end to the war in Yemen. The United States, Pompeo said, calls on all parties to support UN Special Envoy Martin Griffiths in finding a peaceful solution to the conflict in Yemen based on the agreed references. Martin Griffiths is still at work looking for some political formula that could bring an end to the war in Yemen, but he has failed so far because none of the combatants has been damaged enough to feel compelled to settle. Now the pressure on Saudi Arabia to find some face-saving exit strategy can only increase. After over 4 years of what was supposed to be a quick war against the Ansar Allah movement of Yemen, there is no indication of success for the Saudis. Saudi armed forces have never ventured into Yemen, and whatever casualties they have suffered were in the attacks launched by the Yemenis across their northern borders. The Emiratis and several thousand Sudanese mercenary troops have done most of the fighting on the ground in Yemen. And according to military analysts, Saudi pilots avoid anti-aircraft fire by flying at altitude the guns can't reach, which unfortunately leads to inaccurate targeting and to civilian casualties in Yemen. The United Arab Emirates' reduced commitment to the war in Yemen may not presage any larger breach between Mohammed bin Zayed and Mohammed bin Salman. But if it does, it could force the headstrong Mohammed bin Salman to rearrange Saudi Arabia's positions all around the region. If he can't count on Mohammed bin Zayed to stand with him, who else is there?